Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, Thursday, March the 14th, 2024, 15 minutes past the hour, and we've got a great program for you today. You're not going to want to miss. Coming up next hour, we are going to be joined by congressional candidate Steve Thomas. And I know a lot of people are very interested to know about Steve and what he poses as we go into next week's primary. So Steve Thomas next hour here on WGH Talk. But this hour we're joined by an old friend of this program. Hasn't been on in quite a while. I can't believe it's been this long. But I have seen him around at the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast, the Turn Up the Heat Dance at the Women's Club Home a few weekends ago. He's out and about, and it's always good to have him on first hour this morning to talk about a whole lot of things. Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan. Ray, how are you?
I am doing extraordinarily well, Scott. How are you this morning?
Doing great. Ray, you got to tell me about the dance competition. how did you get involved in that, and what was the experience like?
A friend of mine named Sarah Navani, who was my partner, she called, I think it was in September or October of last year, and she said, would you be interested in helping us out with a fundraiser? And that was all she said, Scott. And so I immediately said, yeah, sure, whatever, you know, however I can help, let's do that. As I got more information, she then explained to me, it's for the Marion Women's Club Home. And I said, okay, what would I be doing? And then as soon as I asked that question, it dawned on me, wait a minute, I bet she's going to ask me to dance. And sure enough, she did, and I was a little, I agreed to it right away, although I was a little hesitant. You were there, you saw it. There was great reason for me to be hesitant. I am not a dancer. And so we practiced for and rehearsed for, 4.5, 5 months, something like that, which was really something. I mean, to practice for that long and to rehearse for that long for essentially what was a 2.5 minute dance was it really shows just how much energy and effort everybody who's involved in that puts on. But at the end of the day, the Marion Women's Club Home was able to raise just a huge amount of money. I think they raised $80,000 all totaled, for that event, and it was just an absolute blast. I loved every minute of it. It was hard. It definitely took me out of my comfort zone, but it was all for a worthy cause, and I loved everything about it.
You know, Ray, what did you learn about yourself from that event?
Yeah, well, I learned that if given the proper instruction, and Sarah was just a fantastic partner. She taught me the waltz. She taught me the hustle. She taught me some disco moves. What I learned was that given that instruction, I really did surprise myself in that I enjoyed it much more than I thought I would, and I thought the dance that we did was pretty good at the end of the day. Now, would I consider myself, someone who could just, go to a Fred Astaire dance studio and start teaching folks how to dance? No, not in a million years. But what I learned was that I was actually capable of putting something on for 2.5 minutes that was, that I really, really enjoyed. And quite frankly, given the audience reaction, I think those who were present thought we did a pretty good job. And so I was really proud of that and really grateful to Sarah for helping me to be able to do that.
You know, I can attest to the fact, because I was there, that I did think you did really great. And you were in a tough position because you guys were the first ones up.
Yeah, well, you know, Scott, it's funny you say that because about 2 weeks before the event, I got an email from Doris Swartz, who coordinated much of the event, and Valerie Wigton also had a bunch to do with it, and so many other folks. I mean, the number of people who were willing to put their time and their energy and effort into this event, and then, quite frankly, into events for the Marion Women's Club and Home beyond this is just remarkable. They're just a terrific, terrific organization. And so when I got this email from Doris, I'm looking at it, and it showed that Sarah and I were up first, like you said. And my initial response was, oh, boy. Like, just reading the email gave me butterflies. But I tell you what, as we went to dress rehearsal the week before the event and as the event came on, I was very, very grateful that we went first because it didn't give me time to get all the more nervous, especially after seeing everybody else, do their dances and such. So while it scared the heck out of me to begin with, it really did. It really turned out to be a blessing that we went first. So we went, we did it, and then I had the rest of the night to watch everybody else cheer them on and really just have a great evening.
It was a lot of fun. Everybody involved, I think, had a lot of fun, and we were very lucky enough here to have our very own Linda Sims involved, and she took home Best Female Performer, so it was a good night all around.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, she danced to Let's Groove by Earth, Wind, and Fire, and she danced with her partner Don, and I'll tell you what, she did just an absolutely fantastic job. She really was excellent. I mean, she and Don could perform in any venue, anywhere. I thought they were that good. They were absolutely fantastic.
It was certainly a night to remember. Now, Ray, I want to ask you a broad question here,
sure.
Because we read the press releases and we hear about what's going on in Marion County. How would you describe the state of things in Marion County at this particular time?
Well, I think that things are going very well in Marion County. I think, particularly with, on several fronts, I think that things here at the prosecutor's office are going very, very well, which I'm sure we'll have the opportunity to talk about later on. But, you know, going around the room, so to speak, I think the sheriff is doing just an absolutely fantastic job keeping everybody safe in the county. The police department here in the city is just doing an absolutely tremendous job. We get weekly overdose reports, both fatal and non-fatal overdose reports, and we've had several weeks now where we have had consecutive weeks without any overdoses, either fatal or non-fatal. And you would have to go back almost 10 years to get to where those numbers would be similar. Drugs are something that our community battles every day. It's what my office battles every day. It takes up, on the criminal side of my office, the most time, energy, and effort, and treasure, quite frankly, that we have. But we're starting to see that turn. And so the work that the sheriff is doing, the work that the police department is doing, really is making a lasting impact. I'm extraordinarily excited to see what Mayor Bill Collins has on the forefront. He's working hard. He and I talk pretty regularly. I think the city and the county are in good hands. We're seeing tremendous things happening, and I'm really excited about the future of it. You know, don't forget, I have children, and I have a first grader at Pleasant Elementary School, and so I have a vested interest in how this community does and what the future looks like, and I am very, very excited about the trajectory that we're on, and I think the state of affairs are going very well. That doesn't mean that there's not the regular sort of run-of-the-mill political nonsense that we see time and time again, All of that stuff sort of happens, but on the whole, I think we're doing very, very well.
I want to talk a little bit about politics for a second, because we have a primary coming up next week here in Ohio, and it's very interesting because here, certainly in the Marion area, we have a very interesting primary in a congressional race in which incumbent Tracy Richardson, representative, is running against, in a primary, oddly enough, running against, Weslyn Davis. And boy, this race has gotten ugly, and we had Tracy Richardson on yesterday, and the things that are being said, and the things that are being put out on social media, talking of DUIs, what do you make of the state of political campaigns nowadays, even on the local level?
This zero-sum game that politics has become is something that we need to change. This idea that we can say whatever we want, do whatever we want, quite frankly, get in bed with whomever we want, politically speaking, that we have seen as of late, I think represents everything that Americans, certainly people who live and work here in Marion, have grown to hate. I mean, it turns out I'm a registered Republican, so I get all the mailers, right? I get the mailers from the Davis campaign and from the outside PAC money and the outside groups, and I get everything from Tracy's campaign and so on. And it, Scott, when I tell you it has been ugly, that's an understatement. It has just been outright gross, the level of campaigning that has gone on. It is a sad state of affairs politically. And quite frankly, we're better than this, right? I mean, we are better than this. And as an example, last week, Marion County, much like every other of the 87 other counties, has what's called a budget commission. And that budget commission is comprised of the county treasurer, the county auditor, the county prosecutor. And it's our job, by virtue of that commission, to oversee the budgets of every political subdivision, which could be, for example, the city of Marion, could be all the townships, the fire boards, the park districts, the library, the school districts and such. Now, and again, we don't have day-to-day operational control over anybody's budget, but they have to submit their budgets to the budget commission, and so that we know what everybody's operating budget is, essentially, right? So I don't want to confuse anybody. We have Jan Draper, the county treasurer, Joanne Kasotis, the county auditor, and I. We don't have any control over anybody's budget, but this commission has a function, and so last week we met with the treasurers from the school districts, and if you notice, we have two Democrats in Joanne Kasotis and Jan Draper, and one Republican in me. We get along great. We do the work. We do the job. And we meet with these folks. We ask questions about their budgets. They answer them. It's a fantastic demonstration of what can happen when everybody can put political nonsense to the side and just sit down and work together. And I consider Jan and Joanne great friends. Our offices work together every day, and I don't think we have enough of that in politics. I think that we go to our silos, and everybody wants to work in their individual silos, and the Republicans only want to work with Republicans, and Democrats only want to work with Democrats. We see this down in Columbus. We certainly see it down in Washington, and what it doesn't allow for are those relationships. The first thing I did when I sat down with Jan and Joanne was take out my phone, because I hadn't seen them in about, I don't know, 6 weeks or so, and I'm showing them, I'd taken some pictures of the kids, and so I'm showing them pictures, and my one son had a soccer tournament, and they're looking at pictures, and everybody, we're passing it around, and Jan and Joanne are telling me what's going on with their families. We don't do enough of that, and it's because of this sort of siloed mentality that we have, or a siloed practice, I should say, that we have, that allows for people to just say and do terrible things to each other, and I just don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's helpful.
You know, Ray, it's interesting because we have the big Senate primary on the Republican side to find out who will face Sherrod Brown. We have the congressional race, as I said, between Tammy Wilson and Steve Thomas, who will be on next hour. Who's going to face Jim Jordan? We have the state rep race we just talked about with Tracy Richardson and Wesleyan Davis. And I often wonder, I mean, these are primaries. These are people of the same party. They might not like each other now, after all of the things that have been said, but did they really dislike each other in the beginning, or was this just a competition over a job?
Well, that's a great question, and that's the thing. I don't know what the relationships between those candidates are, or what they were before the primary, but yeah, it really... You begin to wonder, right? Like if the candidates knew one another and were able to sit down and have a conversation with one another, would the campaign still take the same tone that they have? And quite frankly, that's anybody's guess. Nonetheless, I think that what I can say and what I can tell your listeners is here in Marion County, the officials who work together every day, who pick up the phone and call each other, have each other's cell phone numbers, text and converse with one another when we see each other. Matter of fact, sitting right in front of my wife, and quite frankly, right next to you, at the dancing at the Turn Up the Heat event, was Jan Draper, and the photo that I later then put on Facebook of my wife Carrie and I at this event was taken by Jan Draper. And so I just wish that we could get to a point where our politics would just take a tone that was just, if nothing else, was just cordial, if not friendly. But that remains to be seen whether we can do that or not.
Now, in these the state Senate race and, of course, the congressional race and the representative race here in Marion, do you have any predictions on any of these next week?
Oh, Scott, that's an excellent question. The short answer is no. I mean, with respect to the Senate race, I can tell you I've met all three of the candidates. I've met State Senator Dolan, I've met Secretary of State Frank LaRose, and I've met Mr. Moreno. All of three of them seem to be pretty competent, well-versed guys. It turns out in the position that I'm in as the county prosecutor, I have certain things that are very important to me in that role, and certain issues that I consider paramount. And so, I want to go and kick the tires, so to speak, and check under the hood and ask these questions about these particular issues. And I think all three of them have done a very nice job, I think, of communicating their positions with respect to the issues that I am most concerned about as a prosecutor. And so I think that one's anybody's guess. I saw a poll last week that had all three of them within a few points of each other and had a large percentage, or at least a percentage that I thought was rather large, given that we're, at that point 2 weeks out, that we're undecided. And so I think, I know President Trump is going to be down near the Dayton area this weekend campaigning for Moreno. Is that enough to put him over the top? It certainly worked for now Senator J.D. Vance. When he was when Trump came to Delaware and campaigned for him in 2022, with that one, I think it's anybody's guess. If I were a betting man, I would say that it's probably Moreno that's gonna pull that out, and then he'll take on Senator Brown in November, and there will inevitably be, much like there was for the general election between Tim Ryan, the Democratic candidate in 2022, and J.D. Vance, there will be tens of millions of dollars spent on that race, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Locally here, and any thoughts on Richardson versus Davis, the one that's kind of gotten ugly? Maybe the ugliest.
Well, you know, here's what's I find fascinating, Scott, about that race is, there are certainly many Republicans who have, told me both publicly and privately that they're upset with Representative Richardson because of her vote for Speaker and, you know, maybe some other things. What's remarkable, though, about the dynamics of the race are that, as I understand it, one of Wesleyan Davis's biggest supporters financially has been Americans for Prosperity. Matter of fact, I got something yesterday from Americans for Prosperity that they had like a door hanger with information about Ms. Davis on it. What people may not know is that Americans for Prosperity is an anti-Trump group, you know, funded by the Koch brothers. And so it's the dynamics are just interesting to me that, you know, folks who think that, you know, that I've seen people with a Wesleyan Davis, for example, yard sign and also a Trump flag. I saw hanging on their garage. I saw that just last week. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting because Americans for Prosperity are anti-Trump. The dynamics are just very interesting to me. Where Americans for Prosperity also were, they were also involved in the state of New Mexico the state of New Mexico no longer has qualified immunity for police officers. And that's a tremendous issue for me. I think that our police officers absolutely need to have qualified immunity. I unabashedly support law enforcement. As a matter of fact, in my reelect for this year, for 2024, the Steve Young Memorial Lodge, the Marion County Fraternal Order of Police Lodge, unanimously endorsed me for reelection just last month. And so you're not going to find a bigger supporter of law enforcement than me. So I have anybody that is involved with Americans for Prosperity, after I saw the money and what went on in the state of New Mexico, really gives me pause, because I think our law enforcement officers deserve nothing but our respect and our admiration, and they need to have qualified immunity. And I will tell you, when I called your show last year, Jay McDonald and I both called your show because he, Sheriff Bales, and I were all out at the border in the state of Arizona. The deputies that we rode with and spoke with for 3 days out there were very concerned about what was going on in New Mexico and the fact that that police officers in New Mexico no longer have qualified immunity. And, you know, it caused it, it. For those who don't know, qualified immunity is essentially a legal protection that that says that a law enforcement officer, if they're sued, is immune from civil liability provided they were acting within the scope of their employment. And the idea that we would strip away that protection, I could tell you, for particularly in New Mexico and in Arizona and other southwestern states where they're dealing with this crisis on the border, is extraordinarily concerning to me. And so I guess those are my thoughts, I suppose.
Do you think Richardson will pull this one off? It usually favors the incumbent in a primary.
It does. And I think Tracy's personal relationships with folks, I think, will ultimately carry the day. Could I be wrong? Sure. But I think Tracy's going to win on Tuesday.
Now, Ray, you just spoke about it there. You are up for re-election this year. What can you tell us about that? Because we certainly have heard some rumblings about people who might run. I believe independents have until March the 18th to file. What do you know, what do you hear about this re-election campaign?
Well, as it stands right now, nobody has filed a run against me. If they do, we will be, I raised money just last week. I will continue to raise money, and we will, we will knock every door we possibly can. We will talk with every possible voter we can. Because I'm really excited, Scott, to demonstrate and be able to show the voters of Marion County what it is that we've been able to accomplish since I took office in late 2017 after the horrible and untimely death of my predecessor, Brett Yeager. And my staff, I can comfortably say, does a tremendous job. And they deserve all of the credit in the world. And I am, should I have an opponent or not, I am very, very excited to let everybody know the job that they do every single day here at the prosecutor's office. And I'm proud to run on the record that I've been able to compile over the last 6.5 years. So should somebody file to run against me, then we will do in either case. It doesn't really change what we plan to do. I plan to go out this fall and explain, this summer and fall, excuse me, and explain to every voter in the county why I believe and why I would I believe I've earned it, and why I would humbly request their vote, because the work that we're doing here, I am extraordinarily proud of.
You know, we all hear things, and you've heard them, I'm sure I've heard them. Do you feel you will have a competitor in this race? Because, you know, 4 days left for the independents to get in on this one, and a lot of people believe there will be one, but who knows?
Yeah, my guess would be probably. I know there's someone who's circulating a petition. Should that individual file, I will be very happy to explain to the voters the difference between us and what my concerns are about an individual who about that particular individual. Like I said, Scott, I'm extraordinarily proud of the record that we've compiled here at the prosecutor's office, and I'm excited and, quite frankly, eager to go out and talk with the voters and tell them all of the stuff that we've been doing.
You know, a lot of people up for re-election this year in Marion County. Judge Edwards, somebody you would work with closely. How do you feel about that particular race?
Well, Todd Anderson, a local attorney, has filed to run against the incumbent, Judge Edwards. I think it's going to be an interesting race, to say the least. I think that... you know, Judge Edwards will run on his record. Todd Anderson is someone who has lived here and worked here his entire life, and so he knows a lot of people. He has connections with a lot of people, and I think that I haven't looked at the filings yet to see what the pre-primary campaign contributions have been and so on, but you know, I think that both of them they're going to run hard races, and I'm interested and excited to see what comes out of that one as well.
When you have a race like this with people who you know and people who you work with and people who are in the community that you're in, is it hard to pick a winner in that one, or see where that's going, or even take a side?
Yeah, I think all three of those are difficult, right? You have like you said, these relationships that by virtue of being in the prosecutor's office, we represent everybody, all of the electeds, and so on. And so it is it can put us in an interesting position at times, but you know, but it's. Nothing new, right? We deal with it every election cycle. So, you know, we just deal with it as it comes.
At this particular point, do you feel Judge Edwards has done a good job?
that's an interesting question. I mean, yeah, I think that Judge Edwards has done the job. He has handled the cases that have come before him. he's disposed of the cases that have come before him, and you know. But ultimately, whether or not I think he's done a good job is sort of irrelevant. I think it's going to be up to the, you know, nearly 40,000 registered voters in Marion County to make that call, and he'll have to have a broader discussion with them, as will Todd.
You know, Ray, something else, now this comes from the city, Auditor Miranda McGinnis, and we've followed this story to a heavy degree, I think, here at this particular station, in a meeting, and I was at this meeting, I guess it's probably more than a month ago now, was asked a question about some misappropriation of funds, and it seemed as if in that meeting that she admitted to doing that. Certainly some members of city council felt that way, Ayers Ratliff and Jason Schauber being two of them. It's my understanding that this was turned over for an investigation to a police officer and then turned over to your office, and I think that's where it is right now. Can you give us any update on what's going on there?
So here's what I can tell you. The Ohio Rules of Professional Conduct, which are rules that govern all lawyers, there is a, obviously apply to me as well as the prosecuting attorney. There are certain rules that I have to, abide by. And what I, by virtue of those rules, what I can tell you is that an investigation of that incident is underway. But I, that's what I'm limited to telling you at this time.
I guess because a lot of people felt when it was brought to me that it had been it was over and done with at this point. So it is not over and done with.
The investigation is still underway.
Okay.
I can confirm that.
Yeah. So at that point, not even in this particular case, but what is the process when the investigation is over?
Sure. So when an investigation is completed in any matter, the generally speaking, if there are to be consideration for charges, then the matter is presented either to my office or to Mark Russell's office, the city law director. And then I can tell you when with respect to Mark's office, he would be the one to tell you what process they go through there. With respect to my office, what I can tell you is when a matter comes in, we typically will look at it. I have an assistant prosecuting attorney named Dave Stamoulis, and Dave has been a prosecutor for nearly 20 years. He worked for Brent and was both Brent and my first assistant prosecuting attorney for a time, and so he's our intake prosecutor. So he will review it, he will go over it, and he typically does that in conjunction with our investigator. We have an investigator here at the prosecutor's office whose name is Jeff Shenefield. Jeff was a Marion City police officer for more than 30 years, ran their investigations unit, and I was extraordinarily fortunate to be able to hire him in early 2018, and he's still with us. And so, and then from there, after the two of them have looked at it, they will come to me, and we'll sit down and we'll talk about it. And we will have conversations about what the investigation has discovered, about what the evidence is that we have, and about what next steps should be. Sometimes we will ask for follow-up work to be done, for example, from the investigating agency. Sometimes we'll ask that we have a, other meetings. For example, if there's a victim involved in the case, we'll have meetings with the victim in an effort to explain the process to that individual. And then after we are satisfied that the matter has been completed and that we're ultimately going to get all the information that is available to us, we then make a charging decision. And sometimes that means we charge somebody with X and Y. Sometimes that means that we don't charge anybody. And so we exercise our discretion as well and make a determination and ultimately a decision that we think is best and go from there.
At this point, because the investigation is ongoing, is there any time frame on something like this?
I can tell you that with every case that comes in, we will try to we work as quickly as possible to make these decisions. I don't like cases to sit around too long. I will tell you when I first took office, and let me preface this by saying that Brent Yeager was not just my mentor, he was my friend. And I think he was an excellent prosecutor. I would have voted for him a million times over. But one of the things that happened was when I took office was that there were approximately 800 or so cases that hadn't been reviewed yet. And that's just the simple fact of the matter. And so, which is one of the reasons that prompted me to hire Jeff Shenefield, because I needed somebody who I could trust to review these cases right alongside the assistant prosecuting attorneys and myself. And I review cases all the time. We had to go through them. Now, if that stack gets anywhere, of unreviewed cases, anywhere, it gets nowhere close to that. I think at present, I couldn't give you an exacting number now, but there's probably, I don't know. We typically get about 100 cases per month to review, And typically we have between 30 and 40 cases that are awaiting to be reviewed here at the prosecutor's office. And so we try to maintain that number extraordinarily low. And part of that process is quickly, as efficiently, but as professionally as possible, and in a sophisticated fashion, reviewing those cases to make those decisions.
Would we expect to hear something in maybe the next 30 days?
Without question, absolutely.
Okay. And two other questions about this, and I know you can only answer what you can answer, but obviously maybe not a similar situation, but certainly with another city auditor, Robert Landon, I believe you had to recuse yourself from that particular situation when a similar charge was brought. In this particular case, you don't have to recuse yourself. What was the difference there?
The difference is, excuse me, as a member of the Republican Party and someone that I had known when he was on city council, and somebody that, that I had that relationship with, while I don't think it would have been an absolute conflict, my concern was that there would be even an appearance of a conflict. And so, given Robert's history with the Republican Party, his time on city council and such, we made the decision to have somebody else review that. I just don't think that's present here. I think we can take part in with respect to this investigation.
And final question about this. I know a lot of people's belief, some on city council, is that this will get dusted under the rug because even though Miranda is not a Democrat, she's a registered independent, but she was appointed by the Republican Party, and last time something happened with a county prosecutor, no charges were filed, and that's what's going to happen here. What would you say to the people who have that belief?
What I would say to them is that is that's a remarkably naive position. What I can promise everybody is, I don't care if my mother committed a felony, I would indict her. I don't play partisan politics. I don't care. We saw with the Jason Warner thing. He was a Republican. We immediately, upon being informed of what had happened, that next morning, immediately took steps to have the Ohio Attorney General's office appointed because I knew there would be questions throughout the investigation, and I didn't even want there to be an appearance of an impropriety. And so we got the Attorney General's office involved immediately, and we all know what happened with respect to that case. I was limited in what I was able to say about that throughout the investigation and so on, obviously. But as you may recall, Scott, though there are some people who may say otherwise, I have, the moment that I was able to speak about this, I have said that Jason Warner should never practice law ever again. And so I don't care what your party affiliation is. I don't care what member of what party you belong to. All of that is completely irrelevant. If you've committed a crime and I can prove it, I will charge you, period.
And that's a good line, though. I would indict my mother if she committed a felony.
I would.
Well, that's the way it should be. When it comes to Jason Warner, just to touch on this, because recently he was back in the news. He's out of prison now, and I believe wanted his law license back, and that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. On the whole, now that Jason is out of prison, what do you make of this whole situation, maybe now that we're coming to the close of it?
Well, I can, excuse me, I can only hope that we're coming to the close of it. What this community has been through, but more importantly than that, what the family and that young man that Julie and Jason Warner hit that night, what he has gone through, what his family has gone through, nobody should ever have to go through. And so it is my sincerest hope that we can all move past that, most specifically that young man and his family. The Supreme Court decided that he should be indefinitely suspended. I think he should have been permanently disbarred. I don't think if you've committed a felony in the state of Ohio, you should ever be able to practice law. But, excuse me, particularly when you're a judge, particularly when you're in a position of trust, And when, from what the evidence demonstrated, he got out of the car, he saw what had happened, and he drove away. It's inexcusable. And now he, you know, the visiting judge that came and who sentenced him to a period of incarceration, both he and his wife, they've served their time, and, you know, that part of this is done. But with respect to his future, you know, I don't wish ill will towards anybody, but he should never be able to practice law again, as far as I'm concerned. But for that young man and his family, I sincerely hope that they are able to move forward and quite frankly put this behind them, because they deserve nothing less than that.
Ray, I also wanted to get an update on a little kerfluffle that went on between the city school district and the Marion County commissioners. We heard about it at the beginning of the year that the sheriff's office shares the old Trekka building out on Delaware Avenue with the Marion City Schools. And from what we all understood, that Marion City Schools had entered into an extension of their lease agreement, and I believe that was done late last year, and then after the first of the year, they decided they were going to terminate that agreement coming up this spring, which is very quickly approaching at this point, and the county commissioners said, you can't do that, this was all in good faith, and if we don't hear something about you staying or something in general, I believe at that point it was by the end of January, that we are going to litigate this. And what's going on there?
Well, here's what I can tell you. There have been public records that have been passed between the parties, and it would be inappropriate for me to say anything more than it is my sincerest hope that, as the guy who represents the county commissioners, that we can all come to a resolution and put and quite frankly come to a resolution as quickly as possible.
So at this point, not resolved, but things are conversations happening.
But very hopeful.
Yeah, very hopeful.
Yes.
So that. Want to talk about, we had a race last year that was very interesting here in town. It was for Marion Municipal Judge, Judge Teresa Ballinger, Jen Ryan. That was the race. That race, in the end, wasn't all that close when all the dust settled. But that race got a little sharp-elbowed, I guess we would say, here on the local level. What did you make of that race?
Well, I think what it demonstrated was the popularity of Judge Ballinger. And quite frankly, she does a fantastic job. And I think the voters saw that. She ran just such an effective campaign. She went door to door, just feverishly. I mean, she was everywhere, and it was in as somebody who has to campaign to keep his job. Watching it, I was able to learn quite a bit from her, and she's been successful at every judicial race she's run, and there's a reason for that. I will tell you, so we have a program here at the prosecutor's office called the Prosecutor's Intervention Program, which is a diversion-like program, but it's done pre-indictment. As a matter of fact, we'll have a press release here pretty soon, because our office has received a $1 million grant from the Department of Justice to carry out this program. Cordon Rogers, who I believe you're familiar with, I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with, he is our director, he runs that program for the office. We are only able to do that program, and as far as I know, it's the only prosecutor's office intervention type program in the state of Ohio that does it pre-indictment. As a matter of fact, we're presenting next month at the Ohio Prosecuting Attorneys Association about our program, and we're only able to do this program because Judge Ballinger is willing and has just been just fantastic in allowing us to file felony complaints in her court, and then monitor these cases and have these cases go through her court. I mean, she has just done a remarkable job, and I think the voters saw that. That's just one piece that I can fill in. The list goes on and on. She runs an efficient court. She runs an effective court. Her probation staff are professional. They do an incredible job under the leadership of Tom Stotts. And so I think given all of that, Judge Ballinger went to the voters, took her record to them, just as I intend to do later this year. And they said, yeah, we want 6 more years of her. And it is extraordinarily well-deserved.
Two quick questions here, Ray, before we run out of time. And not that this is a bad thing, but can a Democrat or an independent really win in Marion County at this point when you look at the makeup of county and city government in the last few years?
Yeah. I mean, the short answer is yes. But I think it'd be a tall order. I mean, I think in 2020, In 2016, President Trump won Marion County 2-1. He won with about 65% to 30% for Secretary Clinton. And then he increased that amount in 2020. So I think it's an uphill battle. But as Jan Draper and Joanne Kasodis have both shown us, it is certainly possible. And so, I think in the city of Marion, Mark Russell is a Democrat. Miranda, who you mentioned earlier, is ran as an independent this past time. And, granted, they both ran without opposition, so I'd be curious to see, had they had opposition, what would have happened. And it's fun to sort of speculate about that stuff. But but I'm a Republican. I'm a proud Republican. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity to take my record to the voters and talk about all the great work my staff is doing.
And the final question today, Ray, because a lot of people had questions. After the first of the year, there were a lot of accusations flying around, certainly in the city, and we know what's going on with Miranda now. Some of that was directed at Mayor Bill Collins. Some of it was directed at City Council, sunshine laws being violated. When something like that happens, how does it get to the prosecutor's office if there is belief that a crime was committed?
Well, as with any other matter, the law says that the prosecutor has the authority to investigate any criminal activity within the territorial jurisdiction of the county. So obviously this case we're talking about Marion County. What I can tell you is 999 times out of 1,000 the cases come to the Marion County Prosecutor's Office by virtue of an investigating agency, whether it be the Sheriff's Office, the Police Department, the Bureau of Criminal Investigation, BCI, or the Ohio State Highway Patrol. So, generally speaking, if someone believes that an individual has or may have committed a criminal offense, then the first thing that they do, or if they call our office and say, hey, we think A, B, and C has happened, the general rule of thumb is that we would or others would refer them to the appropriate investigating agency and have them start there so that a criminal investigation would be able to take place. And then once that investigation is completed by that agency, then it makes its way either to my office or Mr. Russell's office.
Well, Ray, I tell you, with two big issues coming up, what will happen with Miranda, and certainly will you have an opponent coming up in November? We should know the answers to these questions very soon. I hope you will come back with us very soon so we can discuss those things at the time that's appropriate.
I couldn't be happier, and I think once everybody's filed and we know who's running and what races for judges and prosecutors and everything else, I'd love to come on and talk about what I think is going on. That would be great.
I would love to. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Scott. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ray Grogan, Marion County Prosecutor. I'll tell you, with this pollen, I have got little hiccups in my throat. Hopefully we'll survive this morning. Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage CRT Mechanicals.